In the name of Jesus, amen. Let me recite just a few other verses that come directly before the ones just read. Cursed is that man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. He's like a shrub in the desert. He shall dwell in parched places. Blessed, however, is that man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water, who does not fear when the heat comes, nor is anxious in the year of the drought. And then immediately before the passages just read, a glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. A few months ago, I received a little gift. A silver cross, it was. And in the midst of this cross, there were thorns. That became a parable of life. In a way, a parable of standing in a dark and parched land. But then there was one day when I looked at that cross, and like an image metamorphosizing itself before my eyes, those thorns were in fact the young shoots of a new shrub. I think the cross is like that. That sometimes it is in the midst of the parched land that the water seems coolest. I pondered this when I read these words of our lesson, where God tells us, "Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come." Is that really our prayer? Because it's not always the language we want and the message we want to hear. But then he says also this, that I shall give to those according to their works. Is that true? Well, for one man, it was not true. For Christ our Lord, that was not true. He was giving according to our works. And he was placed in the parched land because that's where we are. Well, maybe it's really true also of him. I mean, that one who was made sin and death for us. Maybe it was given to him according to his works. In which case, we also know where the glorious throne set on high in our sanctuary is, and where the tree is by those streaming waters, where one is not anxious in the years of drought. It's an old story and yet ever new, as we understand our life simply to be the story of sin and death, and therefore by necessity, he who is our Savior, also the story of sin and death, his death, our death, however in him and hence our life in him too. And hence these last words. Let me accent them just slightly different than Mark did. Let those be put to shame who persecute me, but let me not be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but don't let me be dismayed. I read these as a prayer. Lord, keep me steadfast in thy word, that in the desert times I still experience the streams of living water. In an age in which it is hard for us to know who we are, when a people is wholly undefined by anything of their past or their present or their future, but wish to be completely defined only by that which they make of themselves, when things come to them from the outside that are not of their wanting, it must indeed seem like parched land. And that's what we're always about as a seminary of the church in this week of symposia, to remind ourselves in many and various ways that our life is not ours. It is given, it's a gift. And the very concrete and particular ways in which God gives us to live that life and to live in those circumstances are opportunities not to be ashamed, not to be dismayed, but to worship him as the Lord of truth and life and hope and faith. For he, precisely in his cross, is the throne of God and the place of our worship. I had an occasion a couple days ago to give one of my lectures. It was concerning that on the altar there, and how appropriate it was to see Christ on it. My good friend Paul McCain has put something on the internet where he expounds upon whether it's good to have a crucifix or an empty cross. I suppose he's right. You leave it to Christian freedom. It's just that it seems to me that if you're freer, the more free you are, the more you want it one way. You want it just like that. So we don't want to cause people distress, but we do want to do it the right way. It's just Luther's old way of talking. I know no God but Jesus. And I know no sanctuary on a hill but the cross either. But it's not an empty cross. It's precisely the crucified one. The crucified one. And not the cross. Him nailed on the cross, that we in him might be steadfast. And so again, that's what we're about here. We're glad you've come. It's always the highlight of our year to see our good friends here, to worship with us. In fact, a few moments ago, I just didn't sing. I was listening to you sing. To Christ the Crucified. So enjoy yourself, and maybe along the way you'll learn a little something as well. In any case, to Christ the crucified be all glory, laud, and honor. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.